We all think of January as the time of year when so much marketing pushes us to take care of our bodies, take out a gym membership, buy special exercise equipment, take on a new diet. I'm sure you've seen ads and read articles, right? People trying to make money off of us. Others just trying to explain better ways to grow healthy. All the above, really no surprise after so many of us enjoyed going too far with holiday food that tastes so good, but also so bad. It strikes me as something we need to consider. Spending so much time thinking and talking and doing something about our bodies while we pay so very little attention to our souls. And that's why we've put together this special CD called Caring for Your Soul. I'm Charles Morris with Haven Today. And in our time together, I want to encourage all of us to be intentional about caring for our souls. Now let me make a quick point. God made us both, body and soul. It is important to take care of both. Eating well and healthy exercising are both taking care of what God has given us to look after. We don't want to sound like the ancient Gnostic heresy that taught all things physical were bad. But even though being intentional about caring for your physical health is important, it is more critical that we start with our souls. So first, we're going to hear from Dr. John Lennox. 3 earned doctorates, Oxford Don. John is going to share some keen insight as to how we grow our faith and trust in the Lord in challenging days. We've also included a number of people that we've interviewed on Haven Today during the COVID-19 pandemic, believers in Jesus from all walks of life, who will share how the Lord has ministered to their souls in this perilous time. It was encouraging for me. I know it'll encourage you as well. And towards the end of our time together, I'm going to share some personal thoughts and practical ways we can practice personal soul care as we move forward. Now, let's get started with Dr. John Lennox and travel to Oxford, England. Welcome to Haven Today. We're going to Oxford, and we haven't been there in quite a while. And on the line with us, we're not going to somebody that's working on that vaccine that's being developed at Oxford, but Dr. John Lennox was a mathematics professor for many years. You've been on the program with us before. John, I want to say thank you and welcome back to Haven Today.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you.
You not only have a parcel of earned doctorate degrees and taught at Oxford yourself, but you actually were a student of C.S. Lewis. I believe it was the final class he ever taught. Am I right on that? Does my memory serve me right?
I was only a student in the sense that I heard him give his final lectures. But I was at those lectures in 1962, and very memorable that experience was, because Lewis has had a huge influence on me.
Wow. Well, with that background, what I want to talk to you is a sweet book that you wrote when the pandemic first broke out. And that's your book, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And I just want to say first, John, thank you for writing that book. It has ministered to me, but I'm sure it's ministering to others too. Why did you decide, as a mathematician, as a theologian, how did you decide to write a book on COVID?
It was very simple, actually. When the lockdown started, I, being a mathematician, I realized this is going to show exponential growth, and it's therefore going to be very scary. And seeing that I was going to be confined to my home, I thought, what can I do? And it suddenly occurred to me that because I believe that the Christian faith has got something very important to say into situations like this, that I would at least try and sit down and write something that would be fairly short, but would deal with some of the major questions that people would be asking and the pain that they would be suffering. And that's the genesis of the book.
Now, you didn't set out to write a book as to why people should or should not wear a mask. You wrote a book that's more significant than that, didn't you?
I think the medical advice, of course, is extremely important. But I was concerned with the much deeper questions because COVID-19 raises those big questions. You can't think of an epidemic or a pandemic in which many people are dying without thinking of the significance of death. And that brings you to the question of eternity and God very rapidly.
Well, let's talk about those big questions. What are the big questions that everyone, especially Christians, need to be considering right now? Because the pandemic is still with us. We're in a second wave right now.
Well, the title of my book reflects the hardest one, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And I attempt in this book to give what I believe is a rational answer to it. There's no simplistic answer to this ancient problem of pain and evil. But I do believe that Christianity has something to say that goes way beyond in its helpfulness anything that atheism has to say. And I compare the various worldviews in their attempt to come to terms with this.
Are you a little afraid that even some professing Christians are buying into other worldviews and not a Christ worldview?
Well, that's always a danger because Christianity, unfortunately, under the guise of Christendom, has got many faces. And this kind of thing can rock people to the base of their being. You know, it seems to me that there are two issues, Charles, here. There's, first of all, the situation of those of us who don't have the disease and are watching it. We're the observers, so to speak. And we tend to ask all sorts of big philosophical questions. But then there are people who are actually suffering it, and that's very different. If you're facing death from COVID, that would rock anybody. And therefore, one needs to have something extremely solid to hold on to. And I believe that Christ offers that. He doesn't offer that the disease will be cured, but the gospel gives us something that actually transcends death and gives us what atheism can never give by definition, and that is ultimate hope. And so for me, the way into this centers on two major historical events, the cross of Christ, showing us that God understands suffering, and his resurrection, showing that Jesus has triumphed over death and therefore is still alive. And that changes everything.
Well, it certainly does. What's it like in Oxford? I know the UK is locked down again a little more. What's it been like for you personally during COVID?
Well, I live outside Oxford, and I haven't left my home overnight for 8 months. We have been from time to time in such a serious lockdown that not even our grandchildren can visit us. At the moment, we're limited to meeting with a total of 6 people under our own roof. So we're going to be able to see part of one of our grandchildren group, but not the whole family, because they've got 6 in their family and they can't all come. I have hardly been in Oxford at all, and it's very like a ghost city. And we don't go out to restaurants or anything like that. We just occasionally go shopping, but mostly have it delivered. So I've been sitting at home, communicating with the world by writing books and being involved in discussions like this. I've done hundreds of them, actually, and they're my window to the world.
Let's go back in history just a little bit, and then we'll spend a little more time in this. Let me just use the word precious little book that you wrote, which I hope people will read and be ministered to by. There in Oxford, at the end of World War I, slightly over 100 years ago, it was the beginning of the pandemic. It was the Spanish flu pandemic that started. Has that crossed your mind a few times that, you know, the troops coming back brought it back to where you live today?
Well, in my book, I felt that we need to try, if we can't get things into proportion, and go back not simply to Spanish flu, but way back into the past, because there have been pandemics all through the centuries. And what is very interesting is to see the way in particular how Christians reacted to them. Even Martin Luther wrote a book encouraging Christians to stay and do what they could. And, you know, I feel it's very important as a Christian to remind people of the legacy of Christianity and setting up hospices and hospitals, nursing. All of those things are a gift of the Christian faith to the world. And it's very important to remind people of that. But we have been there before, but of course, no, very few people remember the Spanish flu in that sense. They remember later incidents of SARS and epidemics like that. But the point is, once you get caught up with it and see something that is extensive and is unpredictable in the way in which it's transmitted as the current thing, we just haven't been here before. People have no parallel experience to put alongside it.
Well, let's touch a little more into your book. It's a short book. It's only 60 some pages long, but that means it's readable and it's accessible for most people, even though it's written by a man who taught mathematics at Oxford once upon a day. Where do you find your hope in this pandemic, and how are you sharing that that's going to encourage me and our listeners?
Well, I find my hope through Scripture, as it tells us about the way in which Jesus himself dealt with situations. And what I find very encouraging in particular is the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. There you have a nuclear family. Lazarus was very ill, and the sisters sent a message to Jesus, who was many miles away, just telling him that Lazarus was ill. And of course, they expected him to come, but he didn't come. And they went through the awful emotion of watching their beloved brother and presumably breadwinner die. And then Jesus turns up. And first of all, Martha meets him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Now, that's a coronavirus kind of question. "Lord, where were you? Were you socially distancing? Because if you were here, he wouldn't have died." So she believed he had the power. Her problem was he wasn't there. And that's the kind of thing that people are raising. God could do it if he would, but he doesn't seem to want to. And Jesus' answer to her was, of course, absolutely spectacular, ultimately. But he said, you know, your brother will rise again, which is lovely, of course. He didn't just say Lazarus would rise again, your brother. In other words, something of that relationship that they found precious is going to be restored. And Martha then went into theology and said, "Yes, I know he'd rise again the last day." He said, "I don't mean that. I am the resurrection and the life." And that statement is so spectacularly absurd, unless it's true, that it almost sends shivers down my spine. There he was standing in a graveyard saying he is the resurrection. That if someone believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. Now, that's where I find my hope, because he demonstrated subsequently that what he said was true. He spoke the word and the dead man came forth. But before that, the second sister came and she said exactly the same as the first one. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And then she started to weep. And here's the most interesting thing. Instead of going into a theological discussion with her, Jesus saw her weeping and he wept too. And that tells me something about the heart of God. To the person that had the big philosophical and theological questions like Martha, he gave answers to that. But to the person who was weeping, he wept too, to show that God is a heart that understands. And I believe that needs to be our response. We need to point to those two aspects of Christianity. One, there are real answers, but there's a heartbeat of love to people. And then, of course, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I firmly believe that what he did in that little graveyard for one person 20 centuries ago, that same voice will one day speak. And all people who've trusted him will be raised from the dead. And so if, for example, I get carried away in the next few months by COVID-19, I know one day that voice will speak and I will be raised from the dead. And that, Charles, is where I find hope.
Amen to that. You've started preaching on me here, which is good.
No, but that's, you said I was Irish, but there, you see, that happens.
Hey, that wasn't a temper. That was just your faith coming through, John. Dr. Yeah. John Lennox, would you lead us in prayer right now? Because I believe in my heart from listening to you speak, you know the Lord. You've been sharing the Lord with us in a coronavirus world. Would you lead us in prayer now?
Of course I would, because God is real. Father God, we just thank you that these things are real, and that as we come to you now, we're entering in to another world where you are the God and King. And we pray for people, particularly today, who are suffering pain because of COVID, the loss of loved ones, people who are anxious because of their job loss or the difficulties they may get into or not seeing relatives or loved ones. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to turn our hearts to the wonderful message of the gospel and open those hearts with all their questions to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have got answers to the big questions, but also you have a heart of love that showed itself when the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. So, Lord, we just pray for a world in pain that will learn that God is nearer than they think, even in a coronavirus world. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. This is a Haven Today special called Caring for Your Soul. It's been several years since I first met and had lunch with Dr. John Lennox at the famous Blackwell's Bookstore in Oxford, right next to the spot where centuries before a famous Christian was martyred. How fitting to talk with John again. Over the last year, there were several guests that we had on our daily radio program who encouraged me as well. As the pandemic started spreading in March last year and continues to prowl, we began talking with those who were seeing the effects of the pandemic firsthand. One of those was a pastor in northern Italy, Andrea Artioli. COVID-19 had already hit his country and region hard. They were on extreme lockdown at the time. No church, no visiting family or neighbors. Church sanctuaries were even being transformed into morgues. I asked Pastor Artioli about the good the Lord was bringing, even in that trial.
We always complain that we don't have enough time for doing things, for the family, for the kids, for reading the Bibles, reading good books, for praying, for working in the house, for working in the garden, do the stuff that you always love to do. So the Lord is giving you all the time that you need. So do all the things that you wanted to do. Do the many good things that you always dreamed to do. Do some gym, grow your veggies, speak with your spouse, speak with you in the life of your kids, pray with them, read good books, connect more with your brothers and sisters in the church, especially with those who are alone, maybe at home, elderly people or young people, people who need your encouragement. Connect with non-Christian friends. We all have non-Christian friends, and they hear the sound of this news coming through TV. Speak with them and share the gospel with them.
Speaking with them and sharing the gospel with them. Wise words. The world needs to hear the good news all the more in trying times. Reaching out, using our time wisely, is a way to care for our souls. But we also need to be encouraged by God's Word. I spoke with Dr. George Wood, a former pastor and a leader in one of the world's largest denominations, the Assemblies of God, and I asked him how the Lord was lifting his soul as he reads his Bible.
You know, I've been, in this time of COVID, I've been very much drawn to the four encouragements that Paul gives in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 39, and encouragements to Roman believers who were truly under incredible pressure. And there are believers today under great pressure, whether it's from the pandemic or whether it's persecution or isolation or loss of job, whatever. And Paul tells us the glory will outweigh the groaning. Put the groaning on one side of the scale, put the coming glory on the other side, and glory will always outweigh the groaning. We are groaning even as believers in this time. He says, the Holy Spirit is helping us even when we don't know how to pray as we should. He tells us that God is working for the good, not that everything that happens to us is good, but God is always working to bring good out of everything. And he's saying nothing can separate us from the love of God. And those are foundational things to apply to our lives at Christmas or at every season of the year, but especially in this time of pandemic. We have to believe and trust not our feelings, but our faith. If our faith is not deeper than our feelings, we run into shipwreck. But when our faith is deeper than our feelings, then we're on solid ground and God is at work to help us in this season and in every season of life.
Isn't God there to encourage us in the good times and the hard times? God is always worthy of our praise. If there was anyone who understands the tension of experiencing joy and sorrow at the same time, it's Kathy Dane. You may know her as the editor of our Anchor devotional guide. This pastor's wife has personally been hit hard by COVID. Some close friends struggled with the virus. She and her husband, Kevin, have also lost two close friends, both due to COVID. So I asked Kathy how they had been seeking to care for their souls.
It really has been a sobering time, and Kevin and I were talking this morning as we took the dog out for a walk that there are still some of the Lord's mercies wrapped up in all of this. We've been calling it kind of a companionship of joy and sorrow. You know, we've had to pare down a lot, simplify, cut things out that aren't necessary, make life less complicated. We've had to sit still a lot more. And I think for a while, people were sort of enchanted with all of that. They thought it was kind of neat, sort of nostalgic, fun to be at home, see families more and so on. That doesn't seem to be the tenor of it all right now. Folks are much more frustrated and impatient about it. But we still have seen that God's people can be effective through these times. We can be fruitful even while we're here at home. We've been seeking especially to, you know, just let our hearts be available to our friends who've lost their loved ones, and to help other people realize that COVID is real. It actually is not a made up, you know, conspiracy. We've seen it firsthand. We have a friend who's a nurse who had COVID for a while. She's back on again, working in the oncology unit where she works, which has been overwhelming at times, that's for sure.
I've known Dr. Philip Ryken ever since he graduated with a PhD from Oxford and was called as a young pastor to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Phil is now the president of Wheaton College outside Chicago and was forced last year to figure out how to move 900 classes online, and he had to do it in a matter of days. How could he keep his students and his faculty and his staff safe? And in the midst of doing all that, how could he keep his own soul encouraged by the Lord?
I've been working at home. I would have the freedom. I mean, we're regarded as essential by the state of Illinois. I have a private office. I could go into campus every day, I suppose. But most of our people have been working from home. So I've been working from home, and it's challenging in lots of ways, but it's really been a blessing to be at home, looking out the window every day and watch over the course of the springtime and into the summer, watch things grow. Just see plants and flowers. I'm an avid birder, and we've got lots of birds in the backyard. So I think it's my experience of creation has been especially meaningful, because we're dealing with a lot of death and dying and disease, but I'm also seeing things come to life and just enjoying the beauty of that, trying to sit outside every day and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. So that's, I think I'll always remember that as a significant part of this season. It's been a great time for us to be together as a family and spend more time together. That's a mixed blessing, my kids will tell you. But for us, I mean, I said at dinner one night, I said, I know it's tough. You know, we've had dinner together as a family for 60 days in a row or whatever it is. You'd much rather hang out with your friends right now. I just want you to know these days are great for us to be with you. And I think that resonates with them at some level. I mean, this is something they'll always remember. Another thing we did together is memorize Psalm 91. And this was my mother's challenge to all 16 of her grandchildren. So we memorized the psalm. We've got motions that go with it. And I think that, too, is going to be a reference point for my kids. And that's really a psalm of God's protection and deliverance from pestilence and danger. And I'm sure those are some of the reasons my mother was thinking about this psalm. But it's also really a psalm of shelter in place because, you know, the Lord is our dwelling place. That's the message of the psalm. So, you know, the difficulties, the challenges, the losses have been great, but also the opportunities to be in the Lord's presence, to experience God's people in a different way, that's also been very meaningful.
Well, our listeners wouldn't know that your kids are older, and so they would be highly embarrassed for anyone to be watching the recitation with motions, hand motions of Psalm 91 at the Reichen House the
last
few weeks.
Yeah, that's probably true. So I've got at home right now, my daughter Kirsten, who's married and out of college now, was with us for part of the time, but I've got, I had a couple high schoolers and a college student. No, when you get to be 50 plus, Charles, you need kinesthetic learning, and hand motions are really good. So my kids actually accused me at a certain point of lip syncing some of the psalm and not actually knowing it. I said, challenge accepted. And I recited the entire psalm for them. I don't know that I can hold my own, but I was trying to do my best.
You were doing a good job. Dr. Carol Taylor was another Christian college president. We first met when she served on the leadership team at Biola University. She listened to Haven Today as she commuted to work as the president of Vanguard University, also in Southern California. We met up during COVID as she served as president of Evangel University in Springfield, Illinois. She's served in higher education for the last 45 years. She was set to retire, but then the pandemic struck. And even though she stayed on to help deal with the crisis, my friend Carol found ways to care for her soul.
You know, I think at some point we realize that we can't lead others, we can't encourage others if we aren't ourselves getting nourishment and sustenance from the one who provides it and holds us all. I mean, because we could sit 24/7 looking at news feeds and just feeding our anxiety and our stress. And I'm one that, as well, as you know, lives by, you know, tell me the truth. Like, give me the facts. What are we dealing with? We'll figure out a way forward, but we're going to start with the reality of where we are and the brutal facts of where we are. And now we're going to find hope to move through this and find a path forward. So I think one of the treasures that I've seen as I've thought about these last months is a community that lives into our core values at a time like this that really exposes the heart of any organization. Mm. So for us, one of our core values is service. Mm. and how we care for others. We're actually known in this community as an institution where our students, our faculty, staff are committed to serving, genuinely care for and love our neighbors and community. So what does that look like in a season like this? Well, one of the ways, when we went to being a remote campus and people were sheltering in place, we have a number of employees who dearly love the students that fill our campus every day, and they're now working from home, and they have capacity to have their job assignments shifted in a way. So early on, we started a campaign where we used those people to call every student, every family of a current student and prospective students just to check in, you know, and the stories that came out of that, I mean, the emails that I got from what it meant that this person called me. And their first question was, how can we encourage you? How can we support you? Are you doing okay? Are you? And to see that lived out in such a time, and maybe that call is being placed by someone who has a family member in the hospital with COVID on a ventilator. So I think what you see at times like this is rather than discovering, can we develop grit and resilience and all of that? You actually discover what you already have.
And it's all from the Lord anyway. It's a gift from Him.
And I think, you know, at times like this as well, we do come to realize and appreciate in a new way our total dependence that is outside of ourselves. You know, for me, one of the passages that I love is Psalm 121. I lift mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. That's a good old King James Version.
That's how I learned it, yes.
Yeah, that's how I memorized it as a kid. And I love the NIV. So where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So where do we find that resilience today? Well, we find it in our Creator. In the one who said, it's not nature that gives you strength. Nature is beautiful, but it's beautiful only in that it reflects the Creator. So watching a community look to who is actually the source of why we say we exist. You know, we exist to nurture the spiritual lives of our students so that when they leave our campus, and I did not originate this statement, but I think it was a faculty member who said, you know, the goal is when we get to the end of life, we look a lot more like Jesus.
Good.
And I think underlying all of our Christian universities, what distinguishes us from many of our public institutions, we actually say we exist because we want to create skilled, competent men and women to serve in every area of vocational calling, but to be there as the presence of Christ in the world. Times like this that are hard reveal our great opportunities for the world to see Christ in us and for us to experience how Christ is with us. It's amazing to me how clear things get in seasons like this. What's really important and what really matters.
Carol Taylor was finally able to retire at the end of 2020, and I so appreciate her wise words of counsel. Now, let's go from Missouri to Illinois. Natalie is a hospital nurse in Chicago who contracted COVID, likely as a result of not having enough PPE. When she first got sick, she realized the Lord had been preparing her so that she could die from COVID if He called her home while serving Him.
No, it was definitely a thought, and thankfully it was a thought that had already crossed my mind when we really were starting to get into the middle of all of this. And so the Lord really worked on my heart about a week before I got sick. And in a time of prayer, He just put in front of me, are you willing to get sick with this? And are you willing to die? And it was it was about an hour of time in prayer with Him, just resubmitting my life to Him and saying, whatever He has for me, I'm content with that. My mom had sent me a verse earlier that day, Romans 14:7-9, which just says, for none of us lives for ourselves alone and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And I just found so much peace in that. I I chose to be a nurse because I wanted to care for people and contribute to making them well when they were sick. And this was so clearly a calling from him on my life. And so I just had a lot of peace from him, even a week leading up to my illness, knowing that regardless of the circumstances, I was his, and either he had more work for me to do on this earth or he was calling me home to be with him. And I was so content in that by his grace, I think.
A Christian nurse sharing how the Lord helped her come to grips that no matter what might happen, it was well with her soul because she had Jesus. And that reminds me of Pastor Christian Torres. Christian is a Baptist pastor in Riverside, California, not far from our ministry's U.S. headquarters. And he was one of the first people we spoke with who was recovering from COVID. He was so sick that he was hospitalized for days. While hospitalized and in isolation, he focused on taking care of his soul.
I asked for a Bible and they gave me one, and I started writing out Psalm 23 through Psalm 28. And in Psalm 24, verse 1, it stopped me in my tracks, and it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." And I just started to just be impacted by that, and I felt the weight of the truth that God possesses everything, including the very breath that I take. He is in control of all of it. There's no maverick molecule that escapes his control. And he can do whatever he like to do with anything and with everything. And so when that verse came to me that evening, I just rested in the fact that, yes, God, you are God. You are good. And I rest in that he would do it according to his pleasure and for my benefit. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. And then the second verse that I can testify is found in Psalm 30, where the psalmist says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." You know, the following 24 hours in my hospital stay, my fever was gone. And that's what prompted the doctor to say, "Yeah, we're going to discharge you." And so, so thankful to the Lord for that. So the message that I have for this Easter is basically that God is God. He possesses everything, and that points to his position, which is high and lofty. No one can overthrow him from his throne. And that although he is that omnipotent God, he is omnibenevolent God. That is, he is all good. He does things out of his love and goodness. He doesn't do things out of a whim. And so we can rest in that truth.
Resting in the truth, God is good. That reality is good for our soul to know. We spoke with so many in 2020 who shared how the Lord had drawn near to them and how they had taken up practical ways to draw even closer to Jesus, the only one who could care for their souls. By now, I've spoken or interviewed going on 100 people over the past year related to COVID. We opened by talking about physical health and moved on to the spiritual, body care, soul care. There's also a bridge between body care and soul care, and that is our mental health. Depression and anxiety have grown exponentially over the past 12 months. This last January 18th was Blue Monday this year, but I think we've all had more Blue Mondays, Blue Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and so on than ever before. Getting blue or feeling down has hit more pastors than ever before. It's reached into our ministry. I've felt it come on in waves. My children were impacted. I know you know what I'm talking about. Every day I start my day with God's word and prayer. More so, over these past months, I've been driven to my knees to cry out for help from above. I've been forced in a good way to not forget that when I call out for help, I've found the resources, the strength I've needed to press on, to run the race well in this Christian life. My Savior has laid out the plan in front of me. Here's how this can help you receive soul care. First, there's help from above. You too can return repeatedly to God's word for the promises we too easily forget. You and I are not alone. He promised His children to never leave us, even as Jesus left to prepare a place for us. He promised to send His Spirit to abide in us, to never leave us. Every day, as I confess my sins, His Spirit infuses my soul with more grace, abounding grace. I don't seem to get zapped by His Spirit, but I feel His presence more than ever. I've spent a year highlighting His words that He left for me in Scripture. Like never before, His word has spoken to me. Second, His help from above has helped me to encourage others and receive encouragement from others, other brothers and sisters in Christ. For me, this started by praying each morning with my wife. It moved on to our team as we would pray for each other and pray for people who shared their needs with our ministry. They would share their need for soul care. In fact, you are invited still to share your needs with us so we can pray for you. Visit our website, haventoday.org, and leave your prayer requests with us. It has become more than a privilege. Praying for a friend like you encourages us to grow in our own faith. And together, we have confidence that the Good Shepherd hears us and leads us to overcome our blues, to find new ways to be servant leaders. Everyone I have spoken with and prayed with around COVID tells me that their faith has been renewed. We didn't have time to include him, but I'll never forget talking with and praying with the chief surgeon of the largest hospital in Greater Chicago. He's always offered to pray for his patients, but this past year, more patients than ever asked for prayer. More were not just willing, but more were asking about eternity. They were thinking about their faith that they needed. And this surgeon, who prays with his wife early each morning for patients he would see and operate on that day, has been able to lead more than ever. As a doctor, more of his patients to lasting, eternal faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, to deliver us from evil, and even on death's door from COVID and other issues, to finally realize that in Christ, physical death loses its sting. Jesus is our great physician. In Christ alone, we gain the hope we need to carry on and to comfort others with true soul care. May Jesus Christ be praised. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus in heaven, the great physician, our God who's coming back to retrieve us and will call us home, whether from COVID or when you return. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the soul care that only you can give. Through your Spirit that you sent to abide in us, the Spirit of Christ, may we find the lasting hope and the faith that we need right now. as we head into Easter, may we also see the cross in a whole new light. May we see what happened on the cross as important and significant to us. May we see our sin and our need to get on our knees at the foot of the cross and confess our sins and cry out for salvation. And then, Lord, may we live our lives and run the race that you've set before us, running that race not alone, but running our race with you. And you not just by our side, but you holding us and pushing us and leading us as our good shepherd. We pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Charles Morris. Thank you for joining me. Joining me on this special time that we've had together, a Haven Today special CD called Caring for Your Soul.